Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing why. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And you're going to be glad you're with me because we got Dr. Lynn Morella back on the show. Lynn is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the founder and the president of the Center for Leadership and Ethics. He had a very distinguished career in the military and in the government, also in major corporations. He is our ethics expert in the Brain Trust. He's the author of two of my favorite books, In Search of Ethics and, well, actually, I'm holding the second edition right now of his book, In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character. And he's our good friend, Lynn Morella. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's a delight to be back. It's always good to be with you.
It's great to have you back, Lynn. Lynn, one of the things that you can't talk about ethics very long without talking about leadership, can you?
Well, they're inextricably tied together.
They are. And folks, I want to say something to you very quickly that I say all the time when I'm talking to people about different things. It almost always seems to come, it just seems to come up so much. I don't think I'm forcing it. I think it's just the way things are these days. But Lynn is the guy who taught us the correct definition of ethics. Lynn says ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. And Lynn, I want to thank you for telling us about that. I talk about it all the time. And there's something happened over the weekend that I want to tell you about. Do you watch golf on television very much?
Sometimes I do, yes.
If you want to see ethics in happening in front of your very eyes, watch professional golfers. The guy was in a playoff. It was his potential to he was about to win his first tournament in a long career. He was in a playoff with one of the top players in the country on the tour. He was in a hazard where you're not supposed to touch anything, ground your club. You can only swing through and hit the ball on the downswing. Whatever you hit on the downswing is okay, but any other activity you can't touch anything. He hits the ball out. And he may have a chance to win, but it's not looking too good. But before he steps out of the bunker, he calls the officials over, and he says, I think I hit this little twig on my backswing.
I read that. I did.
I watched it. I watched it happen. Now, if he'd hit it on his downswing, no problem. But it turns out with a replay, and only with the aid of a close-up replay, Did anybody see this? He nicked a little dead twig and caused it to twitch a half inch each way. Now it had nothing to do with the shot. It had nothing to do with the result. But he did in fact touch something on his backswing. He called it on himself and was assessed a two-stroke penalty.
Well, that is definitely obedience to the unenforceable.
Isn't that a video that we should be showing in schools all across this country?
Absolutely.
Think about this. This guy was the odds were against him at this point. He hit the ball in the bunker, but he could have holed out his next stroke. He could have holed out and won the thing. And yet he called.
Ethics is what you are when nobody's looking.
That's exactly right.
Ethics is what you are in the dark.
And I'll tell you, I think there's a good chance that had he not called it on himself, it never would have been brought up.
Well, it certainly sounds that way.
Yeah. So what a great story, and we need more of that in this world, don't we?
Let me declare.
How do we get that, Lynn?
Well, you know, it's a difficult process, It's just like, it's all about habits. It's what I like to say is that you have to watch your thoughts because they become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become your habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. And watch your character because it becomes your destiny. And it's so easy to talk about. It's not so easy to do. You really have to work at it because the cultural tide of society is pulling us in the wrong direction. And if you're not a strong swimmer, you're going to wind up in a place you don't want to be.
Is the cultural tide of society pulling us away from character?
I think so.
Yeah? Hold on to that thought, Lynn. I'm going to get Linda to expand on that when we come back after these messages. Folks, here's the good news. However you, if you agree with any of the things that Lynn and I are talking about, if you think that Lynn is correct, it's not too late. We can fix this, but we have to do it. We can't wait on Washington. We can't wait on Wall Street. 2012, stay with us.
Because this land's the place I love.
The vein of night, the cuts of path of searing light, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight.
The late, great Dan Fogelberg bringing us back, ladies and gentlemen. Still miss him. 17 till the hour. That's right. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll get it right in a minute, folks. You think I would have learned how to do that for all these years, wouldn't you? Welcome back. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. If you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Dr. Lynn Morella is our guest, folks, a very important member of our Brain Trust, the author of In Search of Ethics, and we're talking about that, ethics and leadership. Lynn, leadership seems to be in shorter and shorter supply. As you said a minute ago, society seems to be pulling us away from the development and the encouraging people to have character. How do we fix that?
Well, I think it's going to be a long-term, difficult process because, as I mentioned earlier, I think the cultural tide of society is pulling us in the wrong direction. There's just so many things that tempt us to take the shortcuts and to do the things that are expedient as opposed to.
Can I give the audience an example of what I think you're talking about when you say society? I think we can see it in television, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, we got more shows. More reality shows where people are in conflict all the time than we have well-written programs where there's some kind of a moral dilemma and a winner, you know, something that turns out to be something that would uplift us and nurture us. What do you think?
Well, I just read in this morning's paper, as a matter of fact, that the average high school kid sends 100 texts a day. So between between texting, between the internet, and between television, just think of the influence. For example, I think the average elementary school child sees about 8,000 murders and 100,000 acts of violence on TV before he or she leaves elementary school.
Yeah,
that has to have some type of programmed effect on your mind. And so if you keep getting bombarded with messages that say that this is tolerable, this is okay, I can do this, I can do that, and it's not okay, then you become confused and you get misled.
So
it takes a very strong person with a very strong sense of character to hang in there.
Senator Patrick Moynihan in the 70s called it defining deviancy down.
I've heard it said many, many ways, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's dumbing down our senses.
Yeah. When we went to the break, I pointed out the fact that if we're going to solve this, we can't wait on Washington to produce leaders. We can't wait on Wall Street to produce leaders. They're not going to do that. I'm convinced that they don't have the capacity to look at what's going on and to behave in the correct way, as a group at least. Maybe individuals, but not as a group. We out here on Main Street, we're the ones who have to take charge of this, don't we, Lynn?
Exactly right. And here in Pennsylvania, I'm very much involved with the public schools, because that's the second line of defense. After parents, the second line of defense in terms of character development is in the schools.
Is that a battle? Is it dealing with the school systems? Is that a battle for what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, I want to call it an opportunity more than a battle.
Because
there are a lot of good teachers out there, but they're working very, very hard to develop good test scores, and they're very, very much involved with No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
And the consequence of that is they're not they're not paying enough attention to character. And not that they're bad people. Most teachers are very good people and working very hard. But every day they're modeling behavior. They're modeling character. So it'd be nice for them to understand what their core values are, what the core values of this nation is all about, and model that behavior in the classrooms. And a lot of teachers are, but some aren't. So if it's not happening at home, where it should happen first, the second line of defense is the schools, and the third line of defense are the churches.
Yeah. And
you're absolutely right. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in Washington. It's going to have to happen.
The only way it will happen in Washington, and the only way it will happen on Wall Street, is if we demand it.
And we have that capacity. But
that's right.
But sometimes we're so distracted that we don't pay attention.
Well, don't we often elect people more on a beauty contest with beauty contest specifications than leadership specifications?
Well, it's some more times than not.
John Edwards comes to mind.
It's a popularity contest sometimes more than a true race.
Yeah.
But what everybody needs to understand though is people are irresistibly attracted to true leaders of character. You know, if you really have the moral courage to do what's right, and you're truly authentic, and you're true to yourself and true to your values, and if you're dedicated to service, and you're dedicated to the truth, and you're dedicated to loving your neighbor to help him or her be a better person, then you're going to find that people are irresistibly attracted to you as a leader.
Why do some people? Why do you ever get the feeling that when you say things like you just said, that people sometimes think, well, how quaint, how old-fashioned?
Well, that's a common reaction. You're absolutely right.
And isn't that sad commentary?
Yes, it is. But notwithstanding that, they still will admire you if you have the courage to stand up and be counted, and you're truly authentic, and you're truly service oriented, and you're truly dedicated to the truth. It's amazing how they will follow you. But there just aren't enough of those.
Well, that's right. And even when it costs you, even when you making the
especially if it costs you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's so important. If you really want to be a true leader, character has to be at the heart of it. So it's a matter of being competent. And yes, you have to be competent. You have to know your business, know your stuff. But you have to be a person of character who truly believes in respect and responsibility and compassion and fairness.
And nowhere on planet Earth, Len, is what you're talking about more in evidence than Main Street small businesses. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why I'm saying, when I said we have to do this, I'm talking about you and me and our small businesses. We can start this. We can start this rolling in our businesses right today. Demonstrate your character today. Go the extra mile today. Start it to demonstrate your character. Little Steely Dan bringing us back 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Dr. Len Morella is our guest. Len is the author of In Search of Ethics. Len, tell us how we can find you online, how we can find your book.
You can buy my book on focusonethics.com, or you can try lenmorella.com.
Two R's and two L's.
Two R's and two L's, and you can also find me in Search of Ethics.
All right. So check that out, folks. Very important book. You know, I recommend if your children are involved in scouting at all, I think your book would be great for scout leaders to use, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Folks, if you're looking for something, if you're homeschooling, if you're looking for some curriculum for teachers to use recommended reading for teenagers, I think this would be an outstanding book for them.
Yeah, and I think I told you once before that my book is has been mandatory reading for all the cadets at West Point for the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I know. It's exactly. Thanks for that, for reminding me, and congratulations on that. Len, wrap it up for us. What if you were going to give us a 1, 2, 3 on what do we need to do? Step 1, 2, step 2, and step 3 on turning the tide. It's not too late, but we have a lot of work to do, don't we? What would be the 1, 2, 3 steps?
Well, let me say this right up front, especially for your small business leaders. Every great institution, large or small, is the length and shadow of a single person. His character or her character determines the character of the organization and affects everything around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my first advice is never, never underestimate the power of character, and never, never underestimate the power of your example, because there are more people watching you, you the small business leader, you the radio announcer, you the author, more people watching you than you can ever imagine. And the power of your example has like ever-increasing concentric circles in a pond. When you drop a stone in it, it just radiates and radiates and radiates and affects many other people.
You know, Lynn, so, you have military background, as do I. I figured out after a while that if I could meet a private, I could learn an awful lot about his commander.
Indeed you are. It took me about 15 minutes as a brand-new second lieutenant in the Army to realize that soldiers, even with limited education, can see through a phony.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Once you're deemed a phony, you're dead in the water.
It doesn't take any education to recognize character. All right, number two.
The courage of your convictions. The moral courage is just so terribly important. And so many of us know the right thing to do, but for some reason or other, we're timid about doing it. We're embarrassed about doing it. We don't have the courage of our convictions. And
that's knowing what you stand for, isn't it? I mean, already, that's having that already decide. This is what I stand for.
It's not only knowing what you stand for, but it's having the courage to do what you know you stand for.
Yeah.
A lot of us know what's right, but we just don't take that next step because we're a little bit worried about being embarrassed. We're a little bit worried about being viewed differently. And for whatever reason that we get intimidated is the reason we have to step forward and be counted.
You know, Glenn, when I was a young pup in business and working for a major corporation, I was bringing my boss a bunch of stuff that I thought we need to fix, you know, and I was probably pretty vociferous about it, you know, and he'd say, I remember one time he said, well, Jim, you certainly have the courage of your convictions, but let me explain something to you. Some of these things you're beating me up about, I can't do anything about them. So I had to learn discretion in the things I brought to my boss, Lynn. I had to learn that.
But sometimes we can do what seems impossible just by having the guts to go forward.
Right.
And it's amazing how many people will fall behind you and follow you when they know that you have that courage. They know you're going to do the right thing.
Right. All right. What? Give us one more.
Well, one more thing is I think we don't understand the power of compassion, the power of caring. I like to talk about caring in terms of purpose and passion and persona.
Yeah.
If we have a purpose in life, if we can transcend to a higher purpose in life, if we can transcend from success to significance and be a significant person, not be so concerned about being a successful person, it's amazing what we can accomplish. So caring plus character plus competence, those are the essential ingredients of an effective leader. And
In that compassion thing, that's also includes redemption, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. And the thing that people understand is that when you're enthusiasm is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Passion is addictive. If you really have a passion and you really truly believe in what you're all about, you believe in your values, and you believe in having the courage of your convictions, it's amazing what you can get done.
Lynn Morella, thanks for being here. Good job today. I always feel more inspired every time you join us. Thanks for being here. Let's do it again real soon.
It's always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Dr. Lynn Morella, In Search of Ethics, ladies and gentlemen. That's the book. You got to find it. Buy two. You want to give one away. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Today, reminding you to commit a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.